permanent damage, she said. I brought fresh clothes, Sim said cheerily. The ones you were wearing were ruined. I hope you chose something suitable from my vast wardrobe, I said dryly to hide my embarrassment. Sim shrugged off my comment.
You showed up without shoes, but I couldn't find another pair in your room.
I don't have a second pair, I said as I took the bundle of clothes from Sim. It's fine, I've been barefoot before. I walked away from my little adventure without any permanent damage. However, right now there wasn't a part of me that didn't hurt. I had flash burn across the backs of my hands and neck and mild acid burns across my lower legs from where I'd waded through the fire fog. Despite all this, I made my limping way the long 3 miles across the river to Imre, hoping against hope that I might still find Denna waiting. Dior eyed me speculatively as I crossed the courtyard toward the Aeolian. He looked me up and down pointedly.
Little boy, you look like you fell off a horse. Where are your shoes?
A good morning to you too, I said sarcastically.
A good afternoon,
he corrected, with a significant glance up at the sun. I began to brush past him, but he held up a hand to stop me.
She's gone, I'm afraid.
Black, sodding, damn.
I slumped, too weary to curse my luck properly. Diok gave me a sympathetic grimace.
She asked about you,
he said consolingly,
and waited for a good long while, too, almost an hour. Longest I've ever seen that one sit still.
Did she leave with someone? Diok looked down at his hands where he was toying with a copper penny, rolling it back and forth over his knuckles.
She's not really the sort of girl who spends a lot of time alone.
He gave me a sympathetic look.
She turned a few away, but did eventually leave with a fella. I don't think she was really with him, if you catch my meaning. She's been looking for a patron, and this fellow had that sort of look about him, white-haired, wealthy, you know the type.
I sighed.
Oh, if you happen to see her, could you tell her?
I paused, trying to think of how I could describe what had happened.
Can you make unavoidably detained sound a little more poetic?
I reckon I can. I'll describe your hangdog look and shoeless state for her too. Lay you a good solid groundwork for some grovelling.
I smiled despite myself.
Thanks.
Can I buy you a drink?
He asked.
It's a little early for me, but I can always make an exception for a friend.
I shook my head. I should be getting back, I've got things to do. I limped back to Anchors and found the common room buzzing with excited folk talking about the fire in the fishery. Not wanting to answer any questions, I slunk into an out-of-the-way table and got one of the serving girls to bring me a bowl of soup and some bread. As I ate, my finely tuned eavesdropper's ears picked out pieces of the stories people were telling. It was only then, hearing it from other people, that I realized what I had done. I was used to people talking about me. As I've said, I had been actively building a reputation for myself. But this was different. This was real. People were already embroidering the details and confusing parts. But the heart of the story was still there. I had saved Bella, rushed into the fire, and carried her to safety. Just like Prince Gallant, out of some storybook. It was my first taste of being a hero. I found it quite to my liking.